Okay, we are on the Mishnah on up to Lamed Zayin Amud Beit. Today Daf is Daf Lamed Ches. Lamed Zayin Amud Beit by the Mishnah. So the Mishnah starts off the Heichin Hayu Menanin. When do you wave? When do you wave the lulav? At what point or Hallel do you wave the lulav? And the Gemara is going to ask, where did we even mention that there's an Indian to wave? That all of a sudden we start off, where do you wave? When do you wave? What, we didn't even say that was waving, and the Gemara will address that. So when do we wave? So we wave Behodu Lashem. By Hodu Lashem, Tchila V'Sof, the beginning of it and the end of it, that when we say Hodu Lashem, when we repeat it, Hodu Lashem Ki Tov, Kila Olam Chasto, we say that pasuk, it's at the beginning of that parak of Tehillim, and then again it's at the end, which is what we do today. We also wave in the middle. The Uba Ana Hashem Hoshiana, and by Ana Hashem Hoshiana, Divrei Beis Hillel. That's Beis Hillel. Beis Hillel. The Mepharshim explained, there's a reference that Az Yiranenu Kol Atzei Hayar, then all the Atzei Hayar, the trees of the forest, will be Ranenu, will sing to Hashem. And that's a reference to a lulav, which is a tree. And the end of that pasuk talks about Hoshia, saving. And therefore, you only say it, you only wave the lulav by Ana Hashem Hoshiana. But by Shame Omrim, Af Ba'ana Hashem Hatzlichana. We don't do it by Hashem, by Hatzlichana. Beshamai says you shake it by Hatzlichana as well. We don't hold like that. The Abu Drum says that we're going to see in a few lines in the Gemara that the reason for shaking a lulav at all, the reason for doing the Na'anuim is to ward off the harmful rains and the harmful dew. So it makes no sense to do that by Hatzlicha, by Hatzlacha, by success, when you're warding off. But when it comes to being saved, Hashem, don't send those harmful things to us. We want to get those away. So we shake the lulav to wave them away. To wave away success doesn't make any sense. Amar of Ya'akiva, Rabbi Akiva says, Tzofa ha'yisi b'Rabbi Gamliel, I used to stare at Rabbi Gamliel, Rabbi Yehoshua, and Rabbi Yehoshua, Shekol ha'am ha'yum na'anin es lulavehen, everybody would wave their lulavs, v'heim lo nanu, they didn't wave. Ella ba'ana Hashem Hoshiana, but by there they did. There they did. Okay, so the Gemara asks what I said before. Nanua mandakar shmei. Who said anything about Nanuim? Would we even mention Nanuim that all of a sudden we come up with this idea? Well, when do you do it? The Mishnah skipped step one. The Mishnah forgot to say there's such a thing as Nanuim. And then, by the way, when do you do it? The Mishnah left that out. So the Gemara says, no, the Mishnah didn't leave it out. Hasam koi. It's from last, we had it many daffin ago, we forgot, where it said, Kol lulav sheyesh bo shlosha tvachim, kedei lenaneh bo kosher. Any lulav that has a three tvachim that's big enough, three tvachim that you could wave it, is kosher. And we explained over there, since the hadassim and the aravos are three tvachim, you need an extra tefach so that you can actually wave. With the extra tefah. That's what we explained. That's why lulav has to be four tvachim, and the hadassim and the rows are only three tvachim. The ka'amr, so now the Mishnah says, by the way, heicha na'anuin, where do you do these na'anuim? So we did speak about na'anuim already. So the question is, does the lulav have to make noise when you shake it? Does it have to make that rustling noise when you shake it? So the Ritva quotes two opinions. He quotes the opinion, no it doesn't, because we're going to see in a few lines, all it's going to say is, molechu, mevi, merid, moed, just have to move it all the directions, doesn't have to make any noise. That's how the Gaonim paskin, that's how the Machaber paskin. Doesn't have to make noise. But the Ritva says, that doesn't make any sense. If that's true, that it doesn't have to make any noise, then why do you need the extra tefach of the lulav? He said you need an extra tefach, so... What do you need the tefach for? It's just, you just wave, you don't have to make any noise. So the Ritva says, you obviously have to make noise. You obviously have to make noise, and that's how the Rama passes.
Why is that a rat?
What? Because if...
It can be shorter and still make noise.
No, but why do you need the extra tefach? The Gemara says, but you have to have an extra tefach over and above the Hadassim and the Aravos, for what reason?
So
that's making noise. So that's what the Ritva says. What else could the reason be? What do you need that for? Otherwise it can be the same size as them. Obviously, it's a little bit bigger, so it can make a little bit of noise. That's how the Rama paskins. The Machaber says, it's in Tough Ration Analysis, the Machaber says, Hananuahu shemolach yado kinegdo v'hala v'yananeh shlam shalosh pamim. You hold it in your hands and you wave it three right back and forth three times. Ba'halacha v'shalosh pamim b'haba, three times that when you're going back and forth, and then the Ramah sticks in torev halolav umechaskes ha'elin. You have to shake the leaves. They got to make noise. Bechol nanua in each waving. Of course, the Mishnah Berurah points out that Ratzalomer, where it is, Ratzalomer kiskus maat. Let's make a little bit of noise. V'hamanan and koach ad shekemaat shehalulav nishbar al yedei zeh. Of course, if you're going to wave it so hard that you're going to crack the spine, that is hutos. That's a mistake. Right? You don't have to do that. You don't have to make yourself. You don't have to make it crazy, but it has to make noise. That further issue is, the Aruch Lener says, if it's true that you have to make noise, so don't use a lulav that has kara. What's kara? Kara is that brown stuff that you're always peeling off the lulav. That brown stuff, don't use a lulav with kara. Why? Because the kara seals up the lulav. Doesn't make any noise. Don't do that. The Sfardim, just the opposite. If you have kara, you can't have a pasul lulav because the top is all sealed. So it's much better to have kara. Anyway, they hold the Machaber who says you don't have to make any noise, and it's even better. Some say, but it could be cracked, and you won't even know it's cracked because there's kara there that's sealing it up. So this is an old back and forth about this. What? Yeah, the Ramah says you're supposed to make noise. The lulav is supposed to make noise when it shakes.
The reasoning the Ramah basically are because it has to be a tenth larger.
Right. That's what the Ritva said, and that's how the
reason because it's larger, that's why we make the bracha on the lulav, as opposed to make the bracha on the rest of the
meal. Well, no, because most lulavim are higher than, anyway, they're taller by nature. But we said it has to be a tefach taller.
Well, but wasn't it, you would make a bracha on it. If the aroma starts out more tall than the lulav, then you would make it.
Right, I hear. Interesting. Right. Right.
If you can maybe, what is that
have to do with that's what the Ritva says. It must be for noise. What else could it be? Right. Right. That's the what? Is it hider in the size? Right. But the kedel and aneh. In orders that you should wait for what?
You
can see it if it's there too.
And if everything is potzvachim also, so that's rosh potzvachim and ulos potzvachim.
No, but no matter how.
Then you could.
No, but no matter how tall we make our hadassah ben aravos, the ulos is always taller, always.
Well, no, if you have ulos potzvachim
long. No, but we'll still make it taller. I mean, maybe halachically you might not have to, but l'maisa everyone will. So this is the discussion back and forth about this. So but the issue, but not the Aruch Lener says you shouldn't have kara, that brown, that red stuff, because it seals up the lulav. So there's a Chaim Falaji, he has a Sefer on Hilch, he says, I never heard of such a thing. Just the opposite. It's much better to have that. Because then your lulav is sealed. And if it's sealed, it's probably not broken. Right? Some say, well, it could be broken under the seal. It's a little unusual. Happens sometimes. Hard to check. But people, that's why one of the reasons why they want that knapple, that little hook over, because then it seals. But that's a separate issue, but it's the same idea. Okay. Now, Tanan Hasam, we learned over there. Where's over there? About the waving of the on Shavuos, they would wave the bread, special bread that they made on Shavuos, along with the goats. So Tanan Hasam, Shtei Halechem, the two breads, the Shnei Kivsei Atzeres, and the two lambs, goats. Keitzad Hu Osei, how do they do it? Miniach Shtei Halechem Al Gabei Shnei Hakvasin, they put the two breads on top of the animals. Umaniach yado tachtehen, and they put their hands underneath the animals. Umol umenev, and they waved it. Umolech brought it back. Mevi malo morid, all directions. Shenemar, asher hunaf v'asher huram. That's the pasuk. Amar of Yochanan, molech umevi, you wave it back and forth. Lemi shaharba ruchos shalo, to the one who owns the four directions. Malu morid, and you bring it up and down. L'misha hashamayim v'aretz shalo, to the one who owns the heaven and earth. So six directions. It's the four directions: front, east, west, north, south, and up and down. All the directions. B'marav amasni hachi, amar of chama bar ukva, amar of yosi bar bichanina, molochu mevi kedei la'atza ruach ros. You wave it back and forth to prevent the bad winds. Umalu maru kedil atzer talalim roim, and you bring it up and down to ward off the bad dews. Those are the bad dews. So I saw a very nice vart. He says that wind, putting aside wind, he says dew is something that is only beneficial to people. It's not like rain. Rain, you get it's inconvenient. Rain could be inconvenient for people. It's a bracha, and we need it, and you can't live without it. But there are you could envision a place where it's inconvenient. Dew doesn't bother anybody. Dew is only a plus. So what are the bad dews? What's bad dew? Only a bracha. It's too much. There's no such thing. What's bad dew? So bad dew, he explains, and this is a hashkafic thing, that bad dew it means it looks good, but it's really not. And he explained, I saw this in, I forgot where I saw it, one of the Al-Das, that what the point is, that we you know, you live in a place where it looks very comfortable, and it looks very easy, but it's a gullus. It's not good, but it's very attractive. It's very attractive, it's very lenient, and people are very nice, but it's still a gullus. The only way that you can ward off those ideas and realize that you're in a gullus and overcome the gullus is by having achdus. Has achdus going to do it? Because all we know is that the four minim represent all different types of Jews. Take all the dal minim together, everybody's in unity, everybody's ba'achdus, then you have a chance to ward off what appears very, very enticing, but it's really, really bad. Okay. Amr of Yossi bar Avin v'itam of Yossi. Oh, the Rav Cheskel Abramsky says, he says, this is not magic, by the way. If you shake a lulav, you're going to ward off. No, it's not magic. It has to, the intention behind it is important too. He says, what's the intention? The intention is that sefer over there, that Tishrei sefer by Goldwasser, he brings down a very nice point from Avigdor Miller that when we take a lulav in Esek, what we're telling Hashem is, you know, you sent us into the Midbar, but you provide us with everything there. There's Midrashim, there were trees, there was orchards, there was rivers, everything was there. See, Hashem, you can do it. You can give us all the bounty that we need. You can get rid of all the... You did it already. So we take all these fruits and trees and leaves. Hashem, look what we're doing. We're demonstrating. You did this already once. You gave us nisim that were not normal. Had a desert like a garden. You could do it again. So it's not well, you shake a lulav, it's magic. No, it's not magic. You have to have intent. You have to think about it. It's what you're thinking about inside. Those thoughts can affect Hashem and work on having such a bounty. Amar Rav Masnachi, Amar Rav Chama Bar Ukva, Amar Rav Yosi Bar Bichanina, Moloch Omevi, we said this already, Ruch Ros, Malamar, Kedilatza Tolom Rav. Amar Rav Yosi Bar Avin, Vitam Rav Yosi Bar Zavda, Bar Zavila. Zoso Meres, this is what it means when we say, Shiyare Mitzvah Ma'akrinas HaParanias. Even the Sha'ari Mitzvah, the Nanum is not a Mitzvah, it's a Din D'Rabbanan, it's an idea. It's like a remnant of a Mitzvah, the Mitzvah is to pick him up. Even the Shi'ari Mitzvah are Ma'akev the Puranas. It's amazing that the power of Mitzvahs, even this added idea, just waving different directions, even that's so special, it can be Ma'akev the Puranas. Sha'ari Tenufa, Shi'ari Mitzvahi. This waving is only Shi'ari Mitzvah. And it has the power to ward off bad winds and bad dews. Vama Rava, Rava says, of course, v'chein balulav, and so too with a lulav. Ravacha bar Yaakov, memamti lei, umaisi lei, when he would shake a lulav in Esrug, Amar, he would say, dein gira be'enei desitna. This should be poked into the eye of the satan. Meaning, when I shake my lulav, I'm thinking I want to get the satan. And then the Gemara says, "V'lav milsi." Don't say that. That's not a good idea. You know why? Mishum da'asil igurebe. Because the Yetzirah will get angry at you, and he'll work on you more than he would otherwise. You're challenging the Yetzirah. You're challenging the Satan. Don't do that. So did Racha Yaakov. How is he doing that? So Rabbi Yosha says, "There's a Gemara that says Racha Yaakov said that Penina, the wife of Elkanah, and the Yetzirah." Who bothered Eov, both did it l'shem shemayim. And Penina, the Gemara says, he holds that Penina was bothering Chana, taunting her, it was all l'shem shemayim. Not everyone holds that. But it was all l'shem shemayim to get Chana to daven more and to realize her fate more and by bothering her, by needling her, she did it l'shem shemayim. Whether that's appropriate or not, it's a different story, but she did it l'shem shemayim to get Chana to daven better. And he said the same thing. The Yetzer Hara was bothering Hashem about Eov only to make Eov a better person. So the Gemara says that when they were darshaning that in the yeshivas, the Yetzer Hara came and kissed Rav Acher by Yaakov because he was being malam etzchus on him. He was not so bad, right? He's being malam etzchus. So he wasn't afraid of the Yetzer Hara, Rav Acher by Yaakov. He was okay. So he could do this. The average person, don't do this. Don't start off with the Yetzer Hara. Rav Acher by Yaakov was malam etzchus. He could take him on. So he was the one who do it. But otherwise, it's generally not a good idea. Also, some point out from here that it's obvious that this was not at Hallel when he did this. Because he can't talk. He can't be masik. Middle of Hallel, he's making all these statements about the Yetzer Hara. It's obvious that it was when he was being Mekayim his mitzvah. Right? Which just demonstrates that even in the times, I mean, this is an old idea of the Nanuim. Right? Goes way back. That even he was being Menanea, and he had all these thoughts. The question is, when is the best time? I think it's the Beis Yosef says that the best time to shake, to do the Nanuim, the optimum time to do it is during Hallel. And the Aruch HaShulchan asks, during Hallel? What about Zerizah Magdim and Lemitzvah? You're going to wait till 10:30 to shake to do Nanuim? What about Zerizah? So he says, no, the best time to do it is earlier. When you wake up in the morning, you shake a lulav. The problem is that the Magen Avraham and the Mishnah Berurah both quote that the best thing to do is to shake a lulav in the sukkah. You shake a lulav in the sukkah because you're in that holy place, you do holy mitzvot in the sukkah. The problem is, this is pointed out by Rav Sternbach, I also saw it, the Klausenberger Rebbe, the problem is that you can't make a bracha on the lulav and have it apply to Hallel, which is going to take place 2 hours later. It's a huge, even if you don't talk, he says, even if it's a huge hefsek. So that's a big problem. You want to be Mekayim, the idea of, I thought I was only in the Klausenberg Rebbe, but Sturmer had the same issue. You want to be Mekayim, this hider of benching in the sukkah, but you run into hefsek problems. Therefore, Sturmer suggests the best thing to do is to have a shul, there's a sukkah by the shul, right before Hallel, everybody should go out into the sukkah. That way you cover all bases. Still, there's a reason problem, because it's still 10:30 in the morning and you're up since 7. That's still an issue. And how do you get around that?
Definitely.
Right. That's right. Because I even thought if you come to shul and right when you come to shul, bench shul and answer right then, and then at least you start a davening, so maybe it won't be such a hefsek because you start already davening. Hallel's not the first thing you daven anyway. It's a whole separate issue, but you still sit or davening. But that's a whole old discussion that comes up. When's the best time to shake a little bit after? Okay, next mission.
Why is it that it has to be the
because the bracha of lulav is going on Hallel. That's what the Mefarshim say. It's going on Hallel, which is later on.
So it's
going
to be people who do it in the morning. They shouldn't do it. I mean, when
they
wake up.
I mean, look, it's a minhag is a minhag. So, but no, because the Arizal said that it's all because of the Arizal. The Arizal said you should shake a lulav in the sukkah. So many shuls don't have a sukkah. And, you know, people, they get excited that there is an issue of Zerizos to do it right away in the morning. Why are you waiting? That's a big issue. It's Aruch HaShulchan, it's a kashan. It's a good question. So if you go to shul and you do it in the sukkah, maybe you're covering both the bases. But I always grew up also doing it in the sukkah early in the morning before I went to shul. And I grew up in a shul with a sukkah. We never used to go in. What? Yeah. Yeah. I never heard of this issue of the hefsek till now, till this year. And I never thought this was Sternbach, that's a hefsek to wait. It's very interesting. I could see why he said that, because the Hallel, we've made Hallel into the Iker. We've made Hallel into the Iker. That's when we do all the Nanuim. Even though, as you see from Rav Acher by Yaakov, when we shake a lulav, we also shake all directions. We don't just pick it up and put it down. We do wave it. So that idea has been carried over to our other mitzvah. But this is the discussion about this issue. Okay, it says the Mishnah. Misha Baba Derech, if somebody's traveling along the way, he's a traveler. V'lo haya biyado lulav litol. He didn't shake lulav yet. So, l'shiyikaneis lebeisa, when you get home, yitel al shulchano. You should take it even if you're at your table. Rashi says, you're eating, and you realize, oh, I forgot to shake lulav. Stop what you're doing and go shake lulav. Stop. Unrelated issue. Lo natal shachris, if you forgot to take a lulav in the morning, or you didn't have a chance to take a lulav in the morning, yitol bein harbayim, take it later in the afternoon. Why? Shekol hayom kosher lo lulav. The whole day is kosher, obviously it's better to do it earlier, but the whole day is okay. So the Gemara says, wait a minute, Amarta, you said in the Mishnah, notlo al shulchano. you should take it on, at your table. Lememra, that means the masik. You're in the middle of eating, and someone says, by the way, did you shake lulav today? Oh, my goodness, I forgot. You stop what you're doing, and you go shake. Verminhu, but that, we have a question on that, because we know, we learned this in Hilchos in Masechta Shabbos, in Hizchilu, if you started eating, and you didn't have a mincha yet, ain't masik, you don't have to stop. Second for lulav, you have to stop, but for mincha, you don't have to stop. So the Gemara says, no, Amar of Safra, lo kasha, that's not a kasha. Ha, de'ika shah is bayom. You don't have to stop at mincha, because you have plenty of time to daven mincha. So 1 o'clock in the afternoon, you're not going to forget. You have 7 hours to daven mincha, that's okay. Ha, but over here, de'ika shah is bayom. It's almost shkia. Time's running out. If you don't bench lulav now, you're going to blow it for the day. So stop eating. That's the distinction. Amar Rava, Rava says, my kushya. What was the question that... How could there's a Mishnah, a Braita that says you don't have to stop eating for mincha. Dilma maybe, ha daraisa. Shaking the lulav is a mitzvah daraisa. Ha darabanan. Davening mincha is a mitzvah darabanan. Even if you hold that feels the daraisa, as Mefarshim point out. But the three is certainly darabanan. And what you say is certainly darabanan. There's an idea, the Rabbim holds, there's an idea to daven each day, that's daraisa. But what you say, when you say, that's all darabanan. So davening mincha is only darabanan. Shaking the lulav is a daraisa. So of course for lulav you have to stop. For mincha you don't have to stop. So the Gemara says, Ela amar Rava. Rava says, no. Ikasha hakasha. If there was a question, this was the question. It says in the Mishnah, l'keshei kaneis l'beiso. When you get home. Note lo al shulchano. You take a lulav even if you're at a table. Alma, what does he see? Demasik. So you stop eating. V'hadar tani, but then the end of the Mishnah says, it's an unrelated issue, but the end of the Mishnah says, lo nadol shachar v'hidol bein arbayim. You didn't take it in the morning, take it later. Alma, what does that imply? Lo masik. Right, you're in the middle of eating breakfast. You don't have to stop. Keep on eating, you'll take it later. You didn't take it in the morning, you'll take it in the afternoon. So within the Doraisa? Why should that, so it's a little bit of a contradiction. So the Gemara is going to, it's not really a contradiction if you think about it, but that's what the Gemara is going to say in a few lines. Amar of Safra, no, that's what he said, Lokasha. You know why in the Reisha you have to stop? The Sefer, you don't have to stop? Like, it implies that if you're eating, you continue, it'll shake a little later. Hadikasha is Bayon, you have plenty of time. Therefore, you don't have to stop what you're doing right now. You can do Shachar, you'll do it in the afternoon. Ha, but over here, the Lekasha is Bayon. When you come home, you're sitting you're eating supper, and someone says, by the way, the Shki is in 5 minutes, I didn't bench Lulav yet. You have to stop and go do it. That's what Rava says. Amr of Zera, Rav Zera says back, my kushya, what was Rava's issue? Dilma mitzvah, right, Rava said that the second line of the Mishnah is a stira on the first line. The second line said if you didn't bench during the day, you'll bench the rest of the day. That was seeming to imply that you don't have to stop what you're doing. So Rav Zera says, what's Rava talking about? My kushya, dilma mitzvah la'asuke, it's a mitzvah to always stop. But ve'i lo pasik yidol bein arbayim. If you didn't stop whatever you're doing, still take it later. And there's no issue of, well, I was b'mezah, therefore it's over. No, we don't say that. It's not really a stira, right? The first talking about it, you guys traveling, whatever, he's not around. When you come home, make sure you take it. By the way, if you didn't take it at any point during the day, go take it. Not a stira. Therefore, ve'i lo pasak yidol bein arbayim. Why? Shekol hayom kashya lulav. The whole day is good for lulav. You have the whole day to do it. So we're back to the original issue. What was the question that Rav Safra answered by saying, when is where you have time, when is where you don't have time? So Rav Zera said, El Amar Rav Zera, La'olam kidamrina meyikara. It's like we said. The issue is, by mincha you have plenty of time. By lulav, you don't have time. Therefore, by lulav, you have to stop right now, go take a lulav. By mincha, you have plenty of time, you have 5 hours left. It's not a big deal. Therefore, over there in Shabbos, we let you continue eating. Here we don't, because time is running short. The Darais and Darabonan issue is not an issue, because it's not even mashra from the Mishnah that's the case. However, what about that Darais and Darabonan issue? Lulav is still Daraisa, and mincha is still Darabonan. So the Gemara answer is, no, hacha over here, we're talking about B'yantav Sheni. It's on B'yantav Sheni. Rava's distinction is not a distinction. About that it's only talking about lulav. That's not a distinction, because it's not true. However, it's still daraisa. So Rav Zera answers, no, we're talking about lulav darabanan. Why? It's not the first day. After the first day, we're going to learn this in the next 2 weeks, that in today, bizman hazeh, only the first day is a daraisa. The rest of Yontif is just a zecher, what they used to do in the Beit HaMikdash. So today, it's all, the whole thing is Durabanan. So it's not a Duraisa anyway, so you have a Durabanan of Mincha, you have a Durabanan of Lulav. How come over here you have to take it? Because time's running out. How come Mincha can continue eating? Because time is not running out. And Deikonami, I'll prove that that's true, that we're talking about not the first day. You know why? Midiktani, because the Mishnah started off, Misha Baba Derech, if someone's traveling, Vein Biyado Lulav, it didn't take a Lulav yet. If it's Yontif Rishon, Mishari. Where's he traveling? It's Yontif. He's traveling around. The guy's on a business trip. It's Yontif. It must be it's Chalamoid. Right? So the guy, that can happen. You can go on a business trip on Chalamoid. You come back. You forgot to take a lulav the whole day. Take it right now. Time's running out. If it's Yontif itself, what's the guy traveling around? It's not allowed to travel. So, therefore, we're talking about Doraisa and we're talking about lulav, and it's all Durabanans, and the reason why you're allowed to shake a lulav, the reason why you have to stop is because time's running out, and by Mincha you can continue eating because you have plenty of time.
So, the first day,
once it's stopped, you see it? Well, if the first day you have to stop your meal, right, I would say maybe you do. Because it's Doraisa. So there's a big discussion over here. Because the Rambam, I think, paskins that way, that if you didn't say Shema, or if you didn't mention Yetzias Mitzrayim, you stop whatever you're doing. Those are Doraisas. So I think you stop. I think there's a big discussion about that. But if it's a Doraisa, you do stop what you're doing. Next Mishnah. Misha haya eved o isha o katan makrin oso. Okay, now we're talking about Halel. So a person doesn't know how to read Halel. Doesn't know how to read Halel. He's an Amah Aretz. So what does he do? He's having his eved, his wife, or his son, who's not a gadol, not 13, they know how to read. Yeah.
Do these halakhos just apply to halal, or they apply to other?
We're going to see. They're going to apply to other things too. But we're going to have it by davening. Well, we have Shemei Ka'ona. We're going to get to that. So if somebody doesn't know how to read, he's having his wife and his son, or his minor son, or his eved, read for them. But they can't be motzi him. A woman can't be motzi a man. An eved also kata not. So what do they do? But they know how to read. So they're reading, and he's saying the words after them. Right, Vayomer, Vayomer, Hashem, Hashem. Right, they're reading and he's saying it afterwards. That's okay. Misha Yevet Oisha Okatan Makrin Oso Ona Acharei, and he answers Mashahein Om, what they said. Right, so therefore he's saying the whole Hallel because he's really saying it. What they say is just to get him to say it because he doesn't know it. He's an Ama Aretz, but for Tavolo Meira, but he should have a Klala that he's such an Ama Aretz. He should have a Klala. Rashi says that. Shalom lamad. He never learned it. It's a curse on him. He doesn't know how to read. V'im lamad, and if he does know how to learn, listen to this. V'im lamad, tavalom meira, it's still a curse. Shemivaza eskono lasos shluchim keela. It's still a curse. Then what are you doing this for? If you know how to learn, what are you doing this for? Big kasha. What's Rashi saying? So probably no one would ever do that. If you know how to do it, why are you having your wife read it for you? You know how to read it yourself. What's Rashi driving at? People have a lot of questions on this Rashi. What's he driving at? It is a bizarre. You know how to read it yourself. You have your 8-year-old son read it for you. What are you doing that for? You know how to do it yourself. Right? If you low lamad, it's a curse on you. You should know how to read. Shame on you. Right? Shame on you. You don't know how to read. You're an adult. But if you do know how to learn, what's the issue? Why would that happen? Okay. If whatever case you want to say, you're sick, whatever, so then why should that be a curse? Right? So it's a very difficult Rashi. What's he driving at? Im hayagadol, but if it's an adult, makri oso, he can read it for you, he can be motzi you. U v'one achrav haluka. And you answer by saying haluka. It's like the equivalent of amen, which is what they used to do by halel. They would answer, they wouldn't necessarily answer Amen or other things. They would answer Haluka, other Psukim. Makam Shinagu Lichpol, if there's a place where the Minag is to repeat Psukim, Yichpol repeat Psukim. Where Rashi points out that if you look at the end of Halel by Min HaMetzar, all over there, all the Psukim are very repetitive. For example, he says here that Karasi Ka. Onaniba Merchavka, Hashemli, Tov Lachsos, Lachsos Sivavuni, Savuni, Docha, Dechisani, Right? Vayihili Lishua, Kol Rinov Yishua, Yimin Hashem Romema, Yimin Hashem Otsichol, Lo Amus Kiyachye, Velomus Lo Nesanoni, Pitzchuli Sharei, Zehashar. They're all repetitive. So there was an idea, which is what we do, we repeat the psukim even when the repetitive nature stops. Rashi points out, once you get to Odcha, you don't have that anymore. The words don't repeat themselves over and over again. Same idea. They stop repeating themselves. So there was a minhag developed, since the whole thing is repetitive, repeat the psukim. Evan, Mosu, Hashem, Haisa, repeat it again. That's why we say it twice, by the way. We say it twice for this idea. The whole thing is repetitive, but that was a minhag. So the Mishnah says, if you had a minhag to repeat those psukim, then repeat them. It was such a repetitive issue. The whole thing is so repetitive, as you see from the, when you see this Rashi, you realize, hey, it's true. They're repetitive. You never think that. But therefore, we have an idea to keep on repeating the psukim. Makav shagol lichbol yichbol lifshot yifshot. If it's a minhag to not to repeat, to be poshut, just leave it straight, then keep that minhag. Levarech yivarech. If there's a minhag to make a bracha at the end of hal, not the beginning. At the end of hal, like we do, we make that bracha at the end. Make that bracha. Hakol kiminhag hamadina. Whatever your minhag is, you keep the minhag. It's all minhagim, it's no problem. The Gemara says, Tana Rabbanan, the Emes Amru, in truth they said, Ben Mavarech L'Aviv, a son can make a bracha for a father, the Eved Mavarech L'Rabbo, an Eved can make a bracha for a Rebbe. We're talking about benching. This is benching. A son can make a bracha for a father. Rashi reminds us, how can that be? A benching is Daraisa. So a father is Chayav Daraisa, a son is only Chayav Darabanan. How can a Darabanan pater a Daraisa? What's the Darabanan for a son? It's Chinuch. So the Rashi says, well, the father only ate a Shir Darabanan. So he's Darabanan, and the son's Darabanan. Darabanan can be mostly Darabanan. We had this discussion. The Darabanans aren't equal. But putting that issue aside, the Ben can bench for your father. The Eved Mavarech L'Rabbo, an Eved can bench for the master. The Isha Mavareches L'Baila, but and a wife can bench for her husband. Her Chiyuv is just the same. Aval Amru Chachamim Tavo Meira. The Chacham gave a curse La'adam to a man Sheishta Ubanav Mavarechin Lo, for a father who they have to bench for. He can't read Hebrew by himself. Amar Rava. New thing. Hilchisa Gevirta Ikalamashma Miminhaga Dahalila. We can learn out big halachos about the way we say Hallel, which is not how we say it today, but how Rava said it, how all these minhagim and all these rules developed. For example, he says, Hu Omer Halleluka. In Rava's time, the minhag was that the Baal Tefillah, not everyone knew how to daven. So the Shechazin would get up and say, Halleluka. And then the Hain Omrim Halleluka. Everybody would answer one word, Halleluka. And then the Chazan would continue reading Hallel. And everybody would listen, and they'd be Yotzei because of Shemei Ka'ona, because he's an adult, and everyone, and you're allowed to do that. We're going to have in a few lines about Shemei Ka'ona. So from that practice of everybody saying, screaming out the word Halleluka, you get the idea that what? Mikan. Shemitzvah la'anot Halleluka. That there was an old mitzvah, which is what the Mishnah said, that when you don't answer Amen, you answer Halleluka. How do you see that? Because that's what we do in our shuls, Rafa says. In our shuls. We get up and say Halleluka, start saying Hallel, and everybody yells at Halleluka. That used to be the minhag. That's the minhag in Rafa's time. What's the purpose of that? To remind everybody, it used to be that was the equivalent of Amen. That's all Rafa says. Hu Omer Hallelu Abde Hashem. Then he would say, the Chazan would say out loud, Hallelu Abde Hashem. They hear Omer Halleluka. Again they'd answer Halleluka. Why are they doing that? Mikan, to remind everybody of an earlier minhag, Shim ha yagadol makra oso ona achav halleluka. That if a gadol was reading hallel for you, right? This is a little different now. That if a gadol was reading hallel for you, you would answer halleluka. Hu omer hodu lashem. The chazan yells out hodu lashem. V'hein omrim hodu lashem. And they answer back hodu lashem. So Mikan, what do you see from that practice? That it used to be, Shemitzvah La'anos Roshei Prakim. That there was a minhag, it used to be the case, that they would call out by at the beginning of each perek. Because Hodu Lashem is the beginning of a parak. It's the beginning of a new chapter. So that was a separate minhag, unrelated to Haluka. At the beginning of a Rosh HaPrakim, they would call out the Rosh HaPrakim. And the reason why in Rava's time, the shuls did that, was to remind you of the earlier minhagim. We do it today because some of these things we still do. You're going to see. Itmar Nami, Amr of Chanan Bar Rava, Mitzvah La'anos, Rosh HaPrakim. Such a mitzvah to answer by the Rosh HaPrakim, by the when the new chapters begin. Another thing. Hu Omer, Ana Hashem Hoshiana, Vehein Omrim, Ana Hashem Hoshiana. Right? The Chazan calls that Ana Hashem Hoshiana, and we respond to that. That we still do. That's in the middle of a parak. You know, in the Siddur, it's indented. It's a new, like a new thing. But that's the middle of a chapter of Tehillim. Smack in the middle. People that don't learn to read Tehillim don't realize that. Smack in the middle. So what's it all indented, all nice and separate? Why? We think because it has such meaning. That could be an underlying reason. But that's not the reason Rava says. Rava says, you know why? Very simple. Mashu Omer. Just to remind us of the din, that if a katan was reading for you, you had to read it afterwards. Right? If you were such an Amorite, you couldn't read, whatever he would say, you had to say. So we respond on Hashem Hoshina out of the blue. It's not Rosh HaPrakim, it's not the beginning of Hallel, it's not Halleluka, it's not Amen. Just to teach us that old rule. That whatever the katan, that if you ever had to read behind the katan, you have to repeat word for what the katan said. That's how we repeat word for what the chazan says. Now, Hu Omer on Hashem Atzlichana, Vehein Omer on Hashem Atzlichana. Why do we follow that? Why do we repeat the chazan for Ana Hashem Atzlichana? Another mikan. She'en ba lichbol kofel. That if there was a minhag to repeat the psukim, you would repeat the psukim. Rashi points out, all these symbols about how to practice didn't necessarily have to coincide with, like, why did Ana Hashem have to correspond to this din and Hatzlichana to that din? Lav dafka. You're right. Ana Hashem could have been for that reason, and Hatzlichana could have been. That's all true. But these are just symbols to remind people what the halacha used to be. What? I know it's kafel in the pasuk. I know. I thought of that. I don't know the answer to that question. Right? In Tehillim, it's written twice. Maybe it's that we respond to it. That could be that. Why are we responding to it? Hu Omer Baruch Haba Vehein Omer B'Shem Hashem. Right, that was a minhag which I think we don't practice today. The Chazan would say Baruch Haba, and we would answer Baruch Haba. We would answer B'Shem Hashem. Mikan l'Shomea Ka'ona. There's such an idea of Shomea Ka'ona. Baruch Minei, that what's Shomea Ka'ona? That when someone says something, and we listen, it's as if we said it. Rashi says, if for example you're saying Shmona Esrei, and they're ahead of you, and they're up to Kedusha or Kaddish, and you are still in quiet Shmona Esrei, Rashi says, be quiet. Stop. Listen to them. It's Shmei Ka'ona. Tosfos says, wait a minute. If you're going to stop and listen, it's as if you said it, then you're being a hesnik in the middle of your Shmona Esrei. Tosfos agrees that Rashi's right. Tosfos says, even though I'm saying what I'm saying, I Rashi's still Muvchar, and that's the Shulchan Aruch Paskins. You keep quiet, and you get your Shmei Ka'ona. Even though, if it's Shmei Ka'ona, it's like you said it, it would be a hefsek. We're going to get to that in a minute. We'll have 2 minutes. Boimene Rav Chia Bar Abba, Shama V'lo Anu, Mahu. What if you listened, but you didn't answer Amen? You didn't say anything back. Do you still get the Shmei Ka'ona? Does it still work? You didn't say anything. So the Gemara says, Amalahu Chakima, the Chachamim, V'Safira, the Sofer, all the Rashi says, Malam the Tinokos, for Rashi Amma, the Rashi Shivas, for Dershaya, and the people of Darshan, Amru, they all said, Shama V'la'ana, Yotza. You never have to answer Amen on a bracha to be Yotze. It's nice, it's a very nice idea. What if it didn't? Doesn't ruin anything that happened to you. You never have to answer Amen to get whatever you want to get. In the Kiddush. You didn't answer Amen. You're still allowed to eat. Still allowed to drink the wine. It doesn't stop you. It's a very nice idea to answer Amen. You're affirming the truth of the bracha, but it doesn't stop you. Itmar Nami, Amar Shem Ben Pazi, Amar Shem Ben Levi, Mishum Bar Kapara, Minay El Shemei Ka'ona. How do you know such a thing as Shemei Ka'ona? The Chsiv, because it says, Es Asher Kara, this pasuk here is all mixed up, Es Asher Kara Yoshiyahu, this is the time when they found the Sefer Torah, the base of Hamikdash has been in such disarray that nobody knew what the Torah looked like. For years and years and years. And finally, they decided there was a massive tshuva movement. They cleaned up the base of Hamikdash and they found the Sefer Torah. And they opened it up, and it was the middle of the Tochacha. So it freaked out. The Melech was Yoshia. It freaked him out. He saw, he took the Musar to heart. Like Dafka at that point in the Torah about how we're going to be exiled and terrible things are going to happen. That's where the Torah fell, when he opened it. So he took a lot of Musar out of that, and there was a big Tshuva movement. So it says over there that Esa Shakar Yoshiyahu read from the Torah. And he got all this Musar. So the Gemara says, V'chi Yoshiyahu Karan? He didn't read it. V'halo Shafan Karan? Shafan, someone else read it. Tiksiv, V'yikru'u Shafan, Lifnei HaMelech. So why does the Torah say, why does the Navi say that Yoshiyahu read it? El Mikan, L'shomea Ka'ona. It's as if he read it. So the Gemara says, wait a minute, V'dilma Basar Dekru'inu Shafan Kori Yoshiyahu? No, maybe Shafan read it, and then Yoshiyahu read it afterwards. So the Gemara says that can't be. Amar Vacha Bar Yaakov Lo Sal, because I don't think that. Because it says Yan Rach Levavcha, that you made your heart. This is Chol Dehanavia. It's telling Yoshio, you got the message right. Your heart became submissive. Fesichna Lefnei Hashem. You humbled in front of Hashem. Bishmacha, when you heard the laning. Bishmacha, when you heard the laning. Velo Bikracha, not when you said the laning. When you heard the laning. So. There's a big machlokes. What exactly is Shomea Ka'ona? What does it mean, Shomea Ka'ona? Is it as if you mamish said the words? Or, you didn't? It's not as if you mamish said the words, but you get whatever you need to get out of this, you got out of it. You get the check mark. You heard Kiddush. It's as if you mamish said the words? No. So it's like, the Rav Asher Weiss has 36 nashkaminas between this and this. The Chazon Ish says, you get a check mark. Whatever you needed to get out of the Shomea Ka'ona, you got it. You heard Megillah. Is it as if you said it? No. The Beit HaLevi says, no, it's mamash as if you said it. He says, that's why the Chazon Ish, the Rakechover says, that's the reason why at Megillas Esther, there's a minhag to stop, not every shul does this, to stop for the 10 sons of Haman. So people think it's because the Balkor is going to go so fast, he's going to slur the words. That's not the reason. The reason is because if we're holding from Shomea Ka'ona, and the 10 sons of Haman have to be B'Neshima Achas, how do you have Neshima Achas for Shomea Ka'ona? How do you do that? It's impossible. It's as if you yourself said B'Neshima, that can't be. It's impossible. According to the Chazon Ish, it doesn't make a difference. You get the check mark. It's as if you heard, but if you hold it's mamish you, you can't say it's mamish you. You didn't mamish you. You sat there and listened. That's why there's a minhag to stop so everyone can do the Neshima Achas. But that's one issue. Another issue, let's do one more. Another issue is, let's say, for example, you go to your friend's house for Kiddush, for lunch on Shabbos morning. Should you make your own Kiddush, or should you be Yotzi from the Balabas? What's a machlokas? Whatever you do is fine, Baravam, it's fine, it's all fine, whatever you do. What's the svara behind it? If you hold, you're getting the check mark. It's just getting a check mark. Maybe it's better if you say it yourself. Right? Why should you just get a check mark? Mama should say it. But if Shomea Ka'ona's mamash, you said it, then your mamash said it, so you can listen to him. You don't have to make your own. So if you want to look, it's in the Minchas Asher in Parshas Naso, because it comes up at Birchas Kahanim, actually. But that's another part where the Gemara there says it has to be B'kol Rum. So how does B'kol Rum, loud, how can you have Shomea Ka'ona for Kol Rum? It's like Shomea Ka'ona for Neshima Achas by Megillah Sefer. It's impossible. So therefore, that's where all this discussion is. There's 36 different cases of Shomea Ka'ona for whether it's mamish as if you said the words or not, you just get the check mark, and whatever you have to get, you have to get. Okay, so today we'll stop now, and we'll continue tomorrow. Good.